You know, as I read this wonderful letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, we discover that it is a book that is full of encouragement. And really, if we're honest, there are no real open rebukes for the church at Philippi. It seems that this was a model church, and in many respects, everything that a New Testament church ought to be. But in reading it, I can't help but feel deeply rebuked in my own heart and in my own spirit. You see, both Paul and the church that he was writing to were living on a very high spiritual plane. As I read this book and I read some of the statements that Paul makes concerning himself and concerning the believers in Philippi, it seems that the Christianity of the West in the 21st century almost seems like a completely different religion from that we read about here in the New Testament in the book of Philippians. Think about what Paul has said already. For example, chapter 1 and verse 9. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. In verse 20 of the same chapter, Paul prays that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. What a remarkable statement. His body given over to God. Whether he lives or whether he dies, his chief desire is that Christ would be magnified in his body. Then the words of verse 21, a well-known text, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 23, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The only thing that kept Paul living in this earth, the only desire that he had to live on this earth, was a desire to serve Christ and to serve the people of God. In verse 27, he encourages the people here to stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 2, and verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here was a man who was living in intimate fellowship with God, writing to a church that was living on a high spiritual plane. And as we come this morning to our text, which is found in verse 17 and verse 18, we have another truly remarkable statement that really illustrates Christian life and experience at its fullest. Paul says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Now granted, maybe this is a text that initially is maybe hard to really understand what Paul is saying when he speaks about being offered upon the sacrifice and service of their faith. But I want to speak for a little while this morning upon the life, the Christian's life as a drink offering. The Christian's life as a drink offering, because that's really what Paul is speaking about here, especially in verse number 17. If I be offered upon the sacrifice, that's the key statement, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, the Christian's life as a drink offering. The first thing that I want to say about this text is the typical meaning of this text. Verse 17, if I be offered. Now, if you have a marginal reference Bible, There might be a little footnote there beside the word offer that could translate it this way: if I be poured out as a libation, or if I be poured out as a drink offering. That's really what Paul is thinking about whenever he uses this word offering. He's bringing us back all the way to the Old Testament, to the Levitical law, to the book of Numbers chapter 15, where it speaks about the drink offering being poured out. Paul is saying, if I'm poured out, if my life is poured out upon the sacrifice of your faith, he says, I rejoice. Now, the Greek word there for offered is the word spendo, from which we immediately get the word spend or be spent. And that again indicates being exhausted, being poured out, being emptied, being an empty vessel before the Lord. Paul was ever ready to be offered in death. Writing from a prison cell in Rome, the very last letter that Paul ever wrote, in 2 Timothy 4, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he was speaking about his imminent martyrdom. I'm ready to offer up my life in sacrifice and in service to God. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to pour out my life, even unto death. And this word offering takes us back to the Old Testament, to the drink offering. And we read about that earlier on in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, and in verse 5, the fourth part: of an hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. And if you know anything about the Old Testament economy, you know that the children of Israel had a tabernacle in the wilderness, a tent in the wilderness, and then later on a permanent dwelling, a temple in Jerusalem. And in the forecourt of the tabernacle and temple, there was an altar. And on that altar, lambs and rams and bullocks were offered in blood sacrifice to satisfy divine justice, to typically cover the sins of God's people, because God demands payment for sin. And the burnt offering was central to the spiritual life of the Israelite. And it was offered every morning and every evening. And this drink offering that is spoken of here in Leviticus chapter 15 was something that was complementary to the burnt offering. Wine was taken, and as the burnt offering was offered upon that burning altar, the wine was poured out, and it immediately evaporated into steam and went up, as it says in verse number 7, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. The wine was poured on the altar, on the burnt offering, and disappeared as a steam up into the atmosphere. And in many respects, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been looking in recent weeks at Isaiah 53 and verse 12. It says, He poured out His soul unto death. And not only did Christ give His body to be a burnt offering, as it were, upon the cross, but He poured out His soul unto death. As it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7, He made Himself of no reputation. And the words translated no reputation come from an original word, which means He poured Himself out. He emptied Himself whenever He was on the cross. He poured out His life even unto death. And now Paul says, if I be offered upon the sacrifice, if my life is poured out, he's telling us here, I want my life to be poured out as an offering unto the Lord. I want my life to be emptied out before God. I want nothing of self and nothing of sin to remain. I want to pour myself out unto God. Now, if we trace the theme here in Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then verse 7, who made himself of no reputation, who poured himself out, he emptied himself, and Paul's applying it to his own life. There's no point, he says, me telling the church at Philippi to be like Christ. I need to be like Christ as well. And the mind of Christ was to pour his life out in service and surrender and sacrifice to God. And if that mind is to be in me, then my life likewise needs to be poured out before God. Didn't C.T. Studd say it well? The great England cricketer who went on to be a great missionary. If Jesus Christ be God, and he is, and died for me, and he did, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Oswald Chambers, the old Baptist pastor from Scotland, after his death, his wife compiled his writings into a devotional volume, which I understand, since his death, has never been out of print. My utmost for his highest. And if you ever read that devotional book in your quiet time, day by day, you will often come across Mr. Chambers making a statement, making a prayer, make my life, Lord, to be as broken bread and poured out wine. Now, he's not talking about trying to atone or sacrifice for his own sins. But he's speaking about a life that is absolutely surrendered to God. A life and a will that has been broken before God, and a life that is poured out before God. That's the typical meaning of this text. Paul says, I want my life to be like a drink offering. I want my life to be emptied and poured out on the altar before God. Something else, the spiritual magnitude of this text. This is a truly momentous text. This is a beautiful picture of Christian life in its fullest. Did you notice the depth that there is in this verse? Paul is saying, if I be emptied, if I be offered, if I be poured out upon the sacrifice of your faith. Paul is viewing himself here as a drink offering. And he's viewing the church at Philippi like the burnt offering. He's speaking about their sacrifice. Here's a church, and it seems that the entire church has placed their lives on the altar for God. And they have surrendered all that they are and all that they have to the service and ministry of the gospel. And Paul is saying, I merely want to pour my life into this church. I want to pour out my heart and soul and everything that I have for the furtherance and spiritual well-being of this little church in the city of Philippi. He speaks about the service of your faith. And that little phrase, the service of your faith, is speaking about their faith in general. As it says in chapter 1 and verse 27, the faith of the gospel. So if we get a picture of what Paul's saying is, he's saying, listen, you're a church and you have sacrificed and surrendered yourselves for the service or the ministry of the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is confident, here's a people, and they are just giving themselves completely to serving Jesus Christ for the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, I just want in some way to have my life poured out in your service and in your commitment and in your surrender. What a statement it is. This is a church. And Paul is a servant of the Lord. And together they are fully committed to God himself. A model church. And as we think about our service for Christ and the ministry of the gospel in this place and even the mission that's coming up in the weeks to come, are we going to pour ourselves out in sacrifice and service for the Lord? Now, there are some things that I want just to say very quickly and very briefly as we think about the spiritual magnitude of what Paul is saying when he says, I want to be offered, I want to be poured out as a sacrifice on the altar for God. It speaks of surrender. Because that drink offering was poured out upon an altar. And the word that is translated sacrifice is the same word that is translated over there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that speaks about a body, a life surrendered to God. I'm giving my life now to God. I'm putting my life now upon the altar. William Booth once said, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. And Paul here is speaking about a life surrendered. He's also speaking as well about a life consumed. The word offering, as we have said, comes from the word spendo, which means to be spent. And Charles Wesley, in his great hymn, Give Me the Faith Which Can Remove, says in verse 3, I would the precious time redeem, and longer live for this alone, to spend and to be spent for those who have not my Savior known. Fully on these my mission prove, and only breathe to breathe thy love. Think about it. I want to spend and to be spent sharing the gospel with precious souls who need Jesus Christ as Savior. A life surrendered, a life consumed. And this is speaking about a life that is absolutely surrendered, offered, poured out, indicates poured out completely. Nothing left to give. God having every key to every door of your life and mine. It's speaking about 100% consecration. Andrew Murray, the great South African holiness preacher, has a wonderful little book, and the title of it is a challenge in itself. Absolute Surrender. Absolute Surrender. Matthew Henry said concerning Christianity, he says, if religion be worth anything, then it is worth everything. If religion is worth anything, it is worth everything. And right across the world, there are false religions, and their adherents are willing to sacrifice everything serving a false god, willing to blow themselves to pieces in a moment of time to serve the gods that they believe in. And yet Isaac Watts, in his great hymn, said, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. This offering as well is not only consumed and surrendered and absolute, but it's voluntary. It's voluntary. No coercion or bribing needs to be done. But Paul's saying this is something we do willingly, offered. Not seized upon, not stolen or plundered or taken by force, but offered willingly. You know, I believe this morning with all my heart that God in heaven does not accept unwilling sacrifices. I believe this morning that God takes no pleasure at all in unwilling service. You see, if you or I are serving the Lord by coercion or constraint from outside influences or forces, God takes no pleasure in that at all. Whenever God spoke to Moses in Exodus 25, and exhorted the children of Israel, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That's God's great desire, to dwell amongst his people, to be there in all of his fullness and power and presence and glory, to fellowship with them. He says in verse number 2, of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart shall ye take my offering. On the flip side of that, God is saying, Moses, if people come begrudgingly and they're not willing and they don't sacrifice and offer gladly, don't take anything from them. I only want those who give from the heart and who give willingly. Not only that, but this sacrifice is unseen. As soon as the drink offering and the wine hits those burning coals, it immediately turns into a steam and it disappears. James says, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. But in a deeper sense, Paul is saying, listen, I don't want to be seen. I don't need to be seen by men. God knows my heart. And as I pour out myself, it's my desire that my life might just be consumed and evaporate before men and go up into the very heavens and be a sweet savor unto the Lord. He says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ our Lord. So many today, tragically and sadly, want to be seen. It's the spirit of the Pharisee. Jesus Christ our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, when thou doest thine alms, when you bring your offerings, he says, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be seen of men. He says, when you pray, don't stand in the street corners just to be seen of men. And there are people, he says, in the church, and that's what they're like. Everything that they say, everything that they do, they take no pleasure in it unless they're seen by men. The Lord says that's their only reward they will get. But he says, when you do your alms, do it secretly. Whenever you pray, enter into the closet. Now, the Bible speaks about public prayer, but the real thing is prayer from the heart. And then Paul is speaking here about something that is fragrant. In Numbers 15:7, he speaks about this drink offering being a sweet savor unto the Lord. As the wine is poured upon the altar, all of a sudden the atmosphere is filled with this sweet, fruitful fragrance and aroma that ascends up into the atmosphere. It's like the woman there in John chapter 12, and she came with her alabaster box, and she broke it, and Mary came and she anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the whole house was filled with the aroma and the fragrance of that offering. Is your life and mine a sweet fragrance unto the Lord? This offering that Paul is speaking about as well was something that was continual. The burnt offering burned morning and evening. The continual burnt offering, it's called in the book of Leviticus. And Paul's saying here, as you serve the Lord and sacrifice the Lord for the ministry of the gospel and for the faith of Jesus Christ, I want to pour out my life continually, all the time, every day, not just for an hour on a Sunday, not just on a Lord's Day, not just on a Wednesday evening. Somebody once said, to obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sundays and Wednesday nights. God wants the life continually poured out before him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. And every day since that wonderful life-changing experience on the road to Damascus, Paul's life is continually being poured out before God, continually being infilled by the Spirit, continually being poured out before God, fulfilling what Jesus Christ spoke about, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is something that is done gladly. Wine in the Bible is a symbol of joy. Psalm 104:15 speaks about wine that maketh glad the heart of man. And Paul says, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And then in the next verse he says, and you rejoice as well with me. This is something that Paul says I'm doing gladly. It's not that I have to serve the Lord. I get to serve the Lord. It's not that I have to witness for Christ. I get to witness for Christ. It's not that I have to surrender my life to the service of the Lord. I get to do this, and I do it willingly, and I do it gladly. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Doesn't this show us the wonderful and remarkable change that there had been in the life of Saul of Tarsus? Before that Damascus Road experience, he was willing to do anything to the church of Jesus Christ. Now, since his conversion, he's willing to do anything for the church of Jesus Christ. One sight of the risen, glorified Savior changed his life forever. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Make me understand it. Help me take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Lastly, very quickly and in conclusion, you've got the typical meaning of the text, a drink offering, the spiritual magnitude of the text, all that that entails, surrender and fragrance and all that goes with it. Lastly, the challenging message of our text. What challenge there is in this for us. In a text like this, we can't help but be challenged. Are we willing to be poured out before God? Are we willing to be emptied of self-will and ambition and pride and all that goes with the flesh? I believe that God is looking for empty vessels. Whenever the prophet Elisha went to that widow's house and her life was under threat and she was a debtor and she was penniless and her sons were going to be taken by force, Elisha says, go and borrow thee vessels, empty vessels. Emptied, the hymn writer said, that thou shouldest fill me a clean vessel in thy hand. Are we willing to be poured out? Are we willing to be totally consumed in service for Christ? To be spent for the kingdom of God? Are we willing to be unseen by men? Unloved, unthought of, unknown in this world? Are we willing to allow our lives to be a sweet savor unto God, not noticed by anyone, a life hidden in Christ? Are we willing to do this continually? And can we do this gladly? David Brainerd, beloved servant of Christ and of God, a missionary to the Native American Indians, whenever his journal and diary was correlated by Jonathan Edwards and put into print, it affected the lives of so, so many. He that being dead yet speaketh. And men like Hudson Taylor and Henry Martin and many, many other great missionaries and servants of the Lord were influenced by the writings of the saintly David Brainerd, a man with a burden for the lost, a man who could say things like, I cared not where or how I lived, nor what hardships I had to go through so that I might but win souls to Jesus Christ, a man who struggled with depression, a man who lamented the lack of his success, a man who was afflicted with tuberculosis, and would cough up blood as he rode for hundreds of miles on horseback through the North American winters. A man whose prayers and the sweat generated through intercession melted the snow round about his feet. And yet a man who saw a great move of the Spirit of God and saw scores of Indians converted and went to be with the Lord at the tender age of 30. When many others are starting the ministry, his ministry was finishing. Young in his life, he made this statement. He said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called comfort on earth. Send me even to death itself. If it be but in thy service, and to promote thy kingdom. Matthew Henry again, if religion be worth anything, it's worth everything. If Christ, friends, this morning be worth anything, he's worth everything. If we hold this book to be the Word of God, and we believe God to be who he says he is, and we know that the Son of God died on a cross and rose again and shed his blood, and we know that we've only got one life, only one soul, only a short window of opportunity, and we believe in a heaven, and we believe in a hell, and we believe in a judgment seat, is it not worth pouring out our lives as a drink offering before the very God of heaven. May God speak on to our hearts and help us to serve our Savior with all that we are and all that we have and all that we ever hope to be. 480 is our closing hymn this morning. 480, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. We're going to unite our hearts together just now in prayer, then we will sing this hymn together, and we trust that you will be able to stay for the Lord's table. If you're not a Christian and you don't know the Lord, don't feel in any rush away either. You're welcome to stay and to observe, even as we sit around the table of the Lord. But I'm going to pray just now, and let's seek the Lord together. And we wish God's richest blessing upon our friends from Crossgar and upon our brother Wilkinson, one of our students. Good to have you with us this morning. And God's servant will be with us later on in the year to bring the word of the Lord. But let's pray together.